So we'll talk a little bit about the Mariana Vua with the snare. Okay. So, Pasuk says that the Vayinigas Asunacha Midba Vayovo Al Haro Lakim Horeva. So, Moshe Rah Son Yusuf Chosna Ukhaim Migan. Vayinigas Asunacha Midba Vayovo Al Haro Lakim Horeva. So that was to the same Har, which is Har Sinai, which would be Har Sinai. Vayero Malach Hashem Elov B'Labas Eish Mitoch Asnan V'inei Asnan Bor B'Eish. Are we on? V'Asnan Nenu Uko V'Yom Moshe Asurin Ov Eres Amar Gudla Zer Madua Lei V'Asna V'Yar Deshem Kisol Liros V'Yikro Elov Lekim Mitoch Asnan V'Yom Moshe Moshe V'Yom Ayin. Okay. Then the Pasuk says V'Yom Al Tikrav Halom Shalmi olecho me'al reglecho, ki amakom asher ta'omid olov admas kodeshu. So, the two instructions he received. one instruction was al tikrav halom, and the second one was shalmi olecho me'al reglecho. Okay. Now, the first Tzivui al Tikrav Halom. What was that Tzivui al Tikrav Halom? So the Ramban says, Lo igia adayin lamal loso adigola b'nevua. At this point, he hadn't reached his great mila of nevua. Ki bahar Sinai nigash el ha'arofel asher shom ha'likin. So on Har Sinai, he was allowed to approach the arofel. Okay. The that was a Tzina. The Tzina is there, which was the phenomenon on the Rosh Ahar. He says the chain inyan astaras punim, and so too the fact that he hid his face. Shadayin lo omash lamash and nema ba usmunas Hashem yabit. He hadn't yet reached the level of usmunas Hashem yabit. So from this point on. From this point, from the point of the Mara Nevua of the Labas Eish Mitoch Hasneh, from that point on, he was destined to reach the greatest heights of Nevua in that short time. From the Mara Nevua of the Sneh until the Mara Nevua of the Maimon Har Sinai, and it was in the same place. Ramban's really explaining the idea was in the same place, that at that point the snare was at the same position as the arufel was on Har Sinai, but then he wasn't permitted to go up to the Makom HaSneh, to the Rosha, which was Barosh Ahar. But later he would be permitted because he reached the level where he'd be permitted to approach closer to the arufel. Moshe Nigash al Rafael Asher Shom Olekim. So in that short span of time, that short span of time of the time of the Matan, the time of the Makos, the Tzias Mitzrayim, in that short span of time, which was several months, he was able to reach the heights that he attained as the great Navi, Usmunas Hashem Yabit Tel Pa Darabo. That level, the highest level of Nevuah attainable. The level that's qualitatively different from Shor Nevi'im. So it's an interesting thing. But what was Moshe Rabbeinu really in this Mara Nevuah, he didn't want to take on the responsibility. And he didn't want to be the individual that's the Shaliach, that is Moshe on Shal Yisrael. He didn't want to take it on. So basically, Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to continue in being a Roi Tzon. And obviously, up to this point, he reached a tremendously high level of a Navi. From the fact that he was able to have that Mara Nevuah in the Sneh. The Mara Nevuah in the Sneh. So snare. But the level that he was to attain in the short few months that followed, which was the level at Sinai, that he was still distant from, so the Ramban says. Vayaster Moshe Panos, because he knew he was on limitation, and he wasn't able to go any further in his chachma, in his pursuit of chachma Hashem Yedias Hashem. So it's an interesting thing, but which really shows you the big yisod in the Yahadis, the way that we look at chachma. And that is that one would think that what would be the correct way to pursue chachma and to pursue metaphysical knowledge? So the best way would be to have a situation of calm, a situation where one is in a quiet environment, where one can indulge oneself completely, fully, in pursuit of knowledge, pursuit of chachma. Certainly, in the world of philosophy, the philosophers or the intellectuals of the world would certainly say that the conditions that are best for study and for speculation and for pursuit of chachma would be his previous conditions of being a roi tzon, where he has time, the roi tzon has less time for himself, or being in the house of Paro, where he didn't have any obligations or any burdens, he was free to pursue Chachmas Hashem. And you see that he was very successful. But from that, if one were to ask someone what would be the best advice, the best situation for Moshe Rabbeinu to rise to the highest level, so one would certainly say, a secular intellectual would certainly say that the best situation would be to continue in the same state that he had been in up to that point, which is a state where he's relaxed, he doesn't have any burdens, any obligations, but is free for his mind to roam and to pursue and to engage in the world of ideas, in the world of Chachmas Hashem, the infinite world of Chachmas Hashem. That would be the best situation. But we see that the Torah says that that's not true. On the contrary, through the taking on the most difficult and the most strenuous task, which was to do things which were very, very difficult for Moshe Rabbeinu to do. And we'll see later in the where he basically tries to get out of the field, and he argues with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Lo Ish Dvor Manochi, and Shlach Nabi Atishlach, and his whole dialogue in the Mari Nevuah is certainly attests to the fact that this was something which was very, very difficult for him to undertake, and very strenuous, and yet, in that strenuous undertaking, he reached the highest level of nevuah possible for any human being. That's what Yehadus teaches us. So the idea, apparently, according to Yehadus, the idea, the common notion, philosophical idea, that the conditions necessary for a person, the ordinary conditions that one would think would advance an individual in Chachma, in Chachmas Hashem, apparently Hadith held that that conclusion is not a simple matter. But on the contrary, the conclusion is just the opposite. That by undertaking the Tzivu Hashem, he reached the very highest levels, which he never would have reached had he continued to be a roi tzon and continued to have the perfect circumstances for the pursuit of knowledge. So really this shows us a completely different idea about knowledge. And I think we were discussing it last time where the Gemara says that a person that wants chachma should be nispal. that the concept in your hadas is that the intellectual is the intellectual powers of a human being is not the root. And I'm going to qualify what I'm saying. Just trying to bring it out in the best possible way. But apparently the common notion that the mind is like a machine, a great power, and if you allow it to function in the conditions which are most appropriate for its function, that you will attain success, just like you would attain success in any other endeavor, where you have the abilities of the and the machinery, so to speak, which produces the necessary result. So if the machinery is placed in operation, so a natural result is that it will attain its goal. Apparently with the human intellect, that's not the case. It does not work that way. That the human mind, the magnificent creation of the human mind, the Tzelem Elokim, which is the function of Chachma, cannot be placed in the same kind of a framework. You can't say, take it and put it in its best environment, and then it'll naturally progress and succeed and attain its goal. It doesn't work in this area that way. It is counterintuitive. On the contrary, the individual can attain the greatest knowledge by being in the worst circumstances that one would imagine for the mind to be relaxed and to function. So the Torah rejects the idyllic notion that you could take a person with a Tzelem Elokim, and the way for him to attain knowledge is to place that entity, the mind, the human mind, in the environment that would be most natural for it. And that is the way that it will succeed. Apparently, Hadas rejects, vehemently rejects, that commonplace notion. And on the contrary, the Torah teaches that Chachmas Hashem could be available to an individual in circumstances that are least free and least conducive for the function of the element of the Tzelem Elokim. And that we see from Moshe Rabbeinu, that before he undertook the awesome responsibility, he reached the level of the snare. But from the snare to the level of Peel Peh Adabar Bo, that level, the highest level of Nevuah, he traversed that distance under the most difficult and the most adverse circumstances possible for his mind. Not a state of relaxation and a state of contemplation, but a state in which his powers and his energies were drawn in all directions and doing things that were really alien to his nature, completely against him, and completely against him in terms of even in terms of his physical abilities. That's what Yehadus teaches in describing the ascent of Moshe Rabbeinu to the highest level of an oven. And the truth of the matter is that that's true by Moshe Rabbeinu, and it's not just an exceptional case, but really that's really the philosophy of Kol HaTorah Kula. Just like Moshe Rabbeinu, in taking on the most difficult circumstances, in spite of that, the Mayonos HaChochma became open to him, and he reached the highest level, so too every individual. And every individual, in a smaller way, the same thing is true as well. And that's really what the Gemara says if you really want to put it into the proper framework, that's really what is a result of the Maimon Chazal. And the Gemara mentioned, the Gemara Nida, and the Tzilasan and Shor Achas B'Tzilasan. So Chazal asks, that's and many hours in the day, almost 9 hours a day, perhaps. So how could you spend so much time in Tzila? So, and how could they succeed in Chachma? Haisa Taras and Shama. So, and so it's true in our halachic system as well. If a person will say that rather than being this follow, I'll learn another daf, I'll learn another idea, I'll pursue another idea in the Rambam, another idea in the Tesis. So you would think that through that, logic would dictate, it would seem, that would be the most appropriate method to attain greater knowledge. The more time spent in knowledge, the more knowledge one attains. But Yehazah says no, not true. That on the contrary, that such an individual will never be able to reach the level that he could have had he spent that time in Tzila. Yispalo l'misha chachma shalom. That there is a concept of the opening up of the mayonos hachachma. And the opening up of the mayonos hachachma doesn't come like in ordinary activities by simply engaging in the activity and using and applying the machinery that's appropriate for that activity. That's not the way it works over here. Over here it's a different system. Over here the system is that the pursuit of perfection and the pursuit of perfection, and the same thing is true of all the mitzvahs. That the mitzvahs, one would think that the mitzvahs are tarti to sasri to Talmud Torah. After all, why should a person engage in mitzvahs when he can be learning Torah? But the answer is on the contrary. That the engaging in mitzvahs is the very thing which perfects the individual, and through that perfection, the mayonos hachachma become open to him. So it's exactly the opposite. That's really an essential idea in Yehadus. That chachma is a different kind of a thing. Chachma is not something that you could place in the same framework of ordinary pursuits. And if a person is a misrashel b'mitzvah, if a person does not pursue a mitzvah, and he looks at chachma in an ordinary, places it in an ordinary framework, then he not only will he not have the mitzvah, of course, but the chachma will be barred from the chachma as well. It's an intrinsic limitation on his ability to attain ideas and to attain chachma. That's a yesod in Kola Tarakula. That's the pasuk in Mishle. The first few psukim in Mishle in Perek Beis, where Shlomo HaMelech says that.
Chachmon and the Das will not be available to him. Yeah.
person is through pursuit of perfection, and that means mitzvahs. So when the person is mispaleo, he's engaging in pursuit of chachma. When the person does mitzvahs, he's removing intellectual limitations. Intellectual limitations. That's what the Rambam says, that every imperfection is a mechitza for an Adam, bein Adam levein kana. That every imperfection is an obstacle. And an obstacle is an obstacle not in an emotional sense. It's an obstacle in an intellectual sense, because the essence of an individual's relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu rests in the intellectual, in Chachma. So every mitzvah that the individual is misrashil in is an intellectual limitation. If a person will think that I won't do this mitzvah, but I won't get the mitzvah, but intellectually I'll be able to gain, then he's wrong. He doesn't realize it, but he's wrong. Intellectually, he's stagnating. He cannot move beyond the point where he's at. He could spin his wheels. I mean, he can engage in a world of ideas. But the great insights will be barred from. Just as an example from the world of knowledge of physics. Physicists tell us that at the time of Newton, there was no reason why one couldn't have discovered Einstein's theory of relativity. There was nothing there that prevented it logically, but if an individual would have had that insight, so he would have been ahead in science by 150 years. So one insight is worth years and years of toil, and years and years of intellectual work and study. But that insight wasn't available. It wasn't Kiddush Hashem Yitei Chachma Mikiv Das Hashuna. So in our system, in the system of Yahadus, our system is a qualitative system. It's a completely different idea. And that, I would say, is the yesod in Kol HaTorah Kula, that he who wishes Chachma cannot look at Chachma in an ordinary sense, but must realize that Chachma is his closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is determined by his perfection. And insofar as the individual has barriers because he lacks in perfection, he lacks intellectually. Our intellectual is a different kind of an intellectual. We view it completely differently than the secular philosopher or the secular intellectual, the secular thinker. It's a completely different notion, a completely different idea. That's really what the Torah teaches us with regard to that very first introductory Mare Hanavua that the Torah lets us know about with regard to Moshe Rabbeinu. That at that point, he was not only not able to go up to the Rosh Ahar where the snare was, but he had to be master as Panav. Even in the position that he was at, by Yasta Moshe Panav, Ki Yorei Mehabit Elohim, he wasn't on the level of Smudas of Hashem Yabit. Of course, it's his greatness that he realized that he wasn't on that level. He assessed himself correctly. But nevertheless, it shows clearly that he was, in fact, not on the level. And that was because he hadn't yet engaged in the Tzivui Hashem, which was, in spite of the fact that it was the most difficult undertaking in the world, it opened up for him the Mayanos HaChachma, which he would reach in several months by Maimon Har Sinai. That's what the Ramban says. Okay. That's the first thing. Then the second thing, Ki Amakom Shalom Ne'olecha Me'al Reglecha. Ki Amakom Asher Ato Omed Olav Ad Mas Kodesh. So what does it mean of this tzivui? Shalom Ne'olecha Me'al Reglecha. Why does he have to take off his shoes? I mean, what, 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 What does it have to do with that? What does it mean to a makom asher to omid lavad maskadosho? What kind of kedusha does a makom have? Yeah, what kind of kedusha? I mean, Har Sinai really has no kedusha. Har Sinai has no kedusha. Okay, the Middash has kedusha, but Har Sinai has no kedusha. But over here, in the Mar Nevua, he receives a tzivui. Shal no lechem our lechem. That's one thing. Why? Ki amakom asher ta'am merol had maskadosho. So it's interesting. Ramban says, Afal pi shel yerachot min asneh. Even though he was distant from the snare, his hero was there. Why? Ki niskadesh kol ha'or, the redes hashchina, a rosh ha'or, ka'asher b'shas matan Torah. Okay, so the ha'or was niskadesh, because of the kedushas hashchina. So, and just like that, momentarily, not that that makom has any kedusha, the only place that has kedusha with Doros is Har Moriah, is Har Bias. But this was the Scottish Lisman, because the Shechina was on the Har. Moshe Bahor Hoya, Kishom Ola, Shenema, Vayovo El Har Olakim Choreva, Vasne Hoya Barosha Har. The snare was on the top of the mountain. Vine Kulo Kadosh. Alright? So it was Kulo in the Scottish. And then the Ramban continues and he says, Va'osur ben Ilas Asandel. And not he was prohibited to wear shoes. The kachamru, b'chol makom she'ashchina nidla, wherever the shchina is, osur b'ne'ilas asandel. Okay. V'chein b'Yoshua, v'chein akohanim lo shimshu b'midosh elo yechesim. So the same thing is true with regard to Yoshua, and the same thing is true with regard to the Middash. Well, Shimshu the Middash, Eli Yechesim. Okay, that's what the Ramban says. So, why Ilas HaSandel? I mean, what is the idea of Ilas HaSandel? That the Ramban doesn't explain to us what the idea of Ilas HaSandel is. But he does mention wherever there's Kedusha. So, there's an Isra of Ilas HaSandel. And he mentions that the same thing is true by Yahushua. The interesting is, yeah, so you'll say, why, where would you say there's Nilas HaSandel? Somebody would ask, where is Nilas HaSandel? So one would say, wherever there's Kedusha. So why by the snare? Because it's Har Olakim. That was the place that was Niskadesh with the Marian of Allah, and it was also the place that would be Niskadesh through the Gilui Shechina of Har Sinai, correct? So one would think that place has some special kind of a value. Some special kind of a value, because it was, alright, it's not the ordinary Kedusha like our bias is, and that was Kedusha. But that's Kedushas Bechira. But interesting, the case of Yoshua really completely removes us from this idea. Because by Yoshua it says like this, Vayehi b'yosh Yoshua b'yericho, Vayisa ina vayar, v'hine ish omid l'midder v'char bo shlufa b'yado. Vayelech Yoshua Ela, Vayamalo, Lano, Aftan, Lutzareno. Vayamalo, Kiani, Sars, for Hashem, Atta, Bossi. Vayipo, Yoshua, Alpana, Varsa, Vayishtachu. Vayamalo, Mo, Adoni, Medaba, Labdo. Okay, so Chazal goes through how he's led the Mishtachva to a covered Nizvan. We one time took that up. But it was a Marianavua. It was clearly a Marianavua. Where was Yeshua? The Yericho. It couldn't have been in Yericho because it was before the fall of Yericho. That's the Yericho Segeris and the Segeris. But it was on the outskirts of Yericho. So, like Rashi says, Mikam Lubur Shel Ir Shel Shehimino Ir. Sheyef Shalom Mitzach Yericho. Okay. But at any rate, he was around Yericho. So, Vayom Asatzvo Arishem Mel Yoshua, the same thing. Shal Malcho Me'al Raglecho. Ki Amokom Masher Ato Omeid Olov Kodeshu. Vayas Yeshua came. So Yeshua did the same thing. Over there wasn't Har HaLakim. It was not Har Sinai. It was not the Midrash. It was outside of Jericho. So what kind of a Kamaka Masha to Amr Lav Kadushu? What kind of Kadushu was in that Makkah? Yeah. So I think the idea, it's apparent that the concept of the idea requires an explanation, as well as the idea of shalno lecho me'al reglecho. What is the concept of shalno me'al lecho me'al reglecho? A few weeks ago, we had a Vayetze. The Haftarah for Vayetze is the Haftarah of Malachi. The Haftarah of Malachi. Okay? I'm sorry, I've told us. Excuse me, I made a mistake. The Haftarah of Togas is the Haftarah of Malachi. The last of the Nevi'im. So that Haftarah is a very interesting Haftarah. It's one that really almost defies explanation. It's an unusual, very unusual piece of Navi. The what's hard to understand in Malachi is what is his message? What is he teaching? And also what was going on there? If you take a look, he says, Malachi Aleph. So he says, Ben Yechaberov ve'Eved Adonav. Vim Avoni, she'akadosh baruch hu says, Ayek Vodi. Vim Adonimoni, Ayem Oroi, Omar Hashem Tzvakos. And so the Shechina complains, where's the Kavod? Where's the Kavod Hashem? Where's Kavod Hashem? So, Lachem Akonin Bozei Shmi V'amartem Bame Bozinu Shemecho. So he says to you, the Kohenim, it will be Mavaza my name. And the Kohenim will say, Bame Bozinu Shemecho. So Malachi gives him a chance to raise the question. So then he gives the answer. Magishim al Mizbechi Lechem Megoal V'amartem Bame Ge'alucho. He says, you're Magish Lechem Megoal. So then you'll still say, but how? Be'amorchan Shulchan Hashem Mizbechi. When you say that God's Shulchan is degraded. So the Mepharshim said, because they didn't like the idea that they have to take the Lechem upon him and divide it up and everybody gets a Kezias or a Kapul. And they felt that that's a Teruch and Omol, and what's the difference between the Kezias and the Kapul? Everybody eats a Kezias. Well, what is this? I mean, it's not, even though Chazal said they were Sveim from that, but the whole idea, they weren't in line with that idea. They didn't like that idea. And then the Navi goes on and says, the Chisa Gishun Iver Lizboach Ein Ra. Okay. The Chisa Gishun Iver Lizboach Ein Ra. And you say that if you bring a carbon that's a Balmun, there's nothing wrong. The Chisa Gishu Piseach V'chola Ein Ra. So the Navi says, HaKriveyu Nola Fechosecha Yitzra Yitzra Necha Omar Hashem Tzvagos. Would you give that carbon to one of an animal like that to one of your respected officers? Va'ata chalunah p'nei keil v'yachaneinu. Miyed chem loisazos. Hayisa mikem panim amar Hashem Tzvakos. So he says, how could you, the Kohanim, ever think that you could be shlucha Yisrael? With this attitude, with this wrong idea, Rashi says, "Lachon shalchechem," and that God will help the ones that send you. And then the pasuk goes on and continues. Ein yichefet b'chem arashem tzvot v'min cholat amiyachem. Why? Ki mizrach shemesh v'ad mavor. The Navi says, "Gadol shmi b'goyim." Because God says in Mizrach Shemesh Rav Mavor, my name is great among the nations. Uvachol mako mukter mugash lishmi. And everywhere the magish kabonis for my name, Amincha Tahara. Ki gadol shmi bagoyim amashan tzvatos. My name is great among the nations. V'atem mechalamoso, v'mochem shulchan v'shem v'golo, v'nivo nizrochlo. And then he goes on, again, v'matem yim atlo v'pachtamoso, v'etzem gozo, v'sapiseach, v'etzem ha'ertze, also miyadchem amar Hashem, never repeats, v'oro nochel, and cursed is the one that uses trickery, v'yesh bedra zocho, v'noder v'zavech moshchas l'Hashem. He has a good animal and he brings a bad one. And then again, Ki melech godol ani amar Hashem tzvakos. I'm a great melech u'shmi no rov agoyim. And my name is feared among the nations. I mean, it's a strange kind of a thing, this Navi. I mean, ordinarily the Navi puts down the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, the idolaters. And with regard to Yisrael, the Navi usually puts down the fact that they bring Kabbonis and they think through Kabbonis they're going to attain something. When it's not the carbon that does anything, but it's only the change in the individual. So ordinarily, the Navi says just the opposite. The exact opposite. The Navi puts down the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and Klal Yisrael, the Navi rebukes Klal Yisrael for bringing good kabbonis, because they think that that bringing good kabbonis, they do it in a fashion which is idolatrous, as if HaKadosh Baruch Hu will be happy with the kabbonis. He doesn't need the kabbonis. That's ordinarily what the Navi says. And over here, it seems exactly the opposite. That the Navi is saying that you're bringing kabbonis that are no good. You should bring good kabbonis. And the goyim, the Ovdei Avodah Zarah, they're good. Kishmi and Naraba goyim. It's almost an exact reversal. Very strange, very, very strange Navi in Malachi. What is the Navi really getting at? What is the situation that he's trying to correct, the flaw? You see, there are two flaws in man. One flaw in man is where an individual, and that's most of the Nevi'im, where the individual is reduced to the primitive. Where he's reduced to the primitive. And he follows the primitive ideas. The Derech Avodah Zarah. So it's true that he uses Midrash, but he is basically in a primitive frame of mind. Just like the Ovdei Avodah Zarah think that they can they set up gods and they appease them through their sacrifices. So too, Klal Yisrael thinks that the sacrifices will so to speak benefit them, and in their minds they think like they're appeasing the Creator. So this is what Yeshayahu Navi talks about, that's nonsensical, and on the contrary, that oven vatzara, the oven yatzara tied to the sasri, and it's a worthless and harmful performance. That's ordinarily the criticism of the Navi. That's one mode of sin. One mode of sin is to take the primitive notions and to try to push them into the system of Yadus. That's a great chait. And that chait, the Navi constantly rebukes Klal Yisrael. They think that they could take primitive ideas and use the tzuras and mitzvos in the primitive fashion and attain something. Not on the contrary. That's the worst evil. That's what the Navi reprimands Klal Yisrael for. But then there's another kind of a sin, another kind of a chait. That's the chait that Malachi is pointing out to. That chait is, I would say, that's the chait of the philosopher, you might say. A philosopher's chait. Okay? A person who, on the contrary, who is very sophisticated, and a person who is very learned, and a person who is very intellectual, but there's another kind of a chait that a person could fall into. And that's Malachi, the last of the museum, addresses himself to that chait. What is that chait? That chait is as follows. That a person will fancy himself an intellectual, And since he's an intellectual, so there's no need for him to engage in the Maisei HaMitzvah, so to speak. Because he's above that. There's no reason for it. In other words, if you will say to him, well, where is your cover at Shemayim? His response would be, there's no need. God doesn't need cover. This is a nonsensical idea, a primitive idea. And ordinarily they say, but for a melech you have covered? So I say, yeah, a melech needs covered. So that's appropriate. Why do I give cover to the melech? Because it's a matter of propriety. He's a human being. So because he's a human being, so therefore I have to act in a certain way to appease him, to make him feel good, to make him feel important. It's necessary for the malchus for many reasons. So that's by a melech basar adam. But the melech malchi amlachim, there's no reason for such a thing. It's nonsensical. So therefore, the whole idea of the idea of Kvod Shemayim is intellectually not necessary. So what difference does it make if I'm mispalel without the proper begadim or with the begadim? I mean, after for Kodesh Baruch Hu, there's no difference. Well, he doesn't care. I mean, there's no it doesn't make a difference vis-a-vis Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's only for us. So for us, there's no necessity for such a thing, because we understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a high level and an intellectual level, and we know that this is not necessary. So the idea of Kvod Shemayim is something which, for such an individual, is nonsensical. There's no reason for it. This individual is the opposite of the other individual. The primitive individual is the one that engages in a primitive notion, and therefore he misuses the Kabbanis in that way, and the intellectual is of the other opinion. He doesn't make the mistake of the primitive man. He says, on the contrary, logically, there's no reason for me to do things that God, it's not necessary. He doesn't need this. So why should I do it? That was the philosophy that existed in the time of Malachi. That's why over there in the country, you see, in the other times, the nation was in a primitive state. That was, the Nevi'im rebuked them for that. But in the time of Malachi, they were on an intellectual plane. So there, what they said was, this is all unnecessary. So what difference does it make to go and eat a kezias from the shulchan, from the lechem apanim? I mean, what is it? It's not necessary. This type of activity is just not necessary. And kabbanis, so what difference does it make? So that's why they were makriv. They weren't careful, and they were makriv the kabbanis of pusim. Why? They didn't want to openly not do it, but their underlying idea was that there's no real reason for this. There's no real reason for this, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need kabbanis, and we're on a high plane and we recognize that. So therefore, this type of activity is absolutely nonsensical. It would be like a person saying that, what reason is there for me to dress up for tefillah? There's no reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't enjoy the fact that I'm dressed up. That's a melech basar adam, and chas v'sholem to even entertain such an idea that for HaKadosh Baruch Hu makes a difference if I'm dressed or if I'm not dressed. So therefore, the individual intellectually will come to the conclusion that there is no reason for Kvod Shemayim. You see, that's the rebuke of Malachi. He says, "Ben yichabedo veven adono zim of ani ayek vodi v'madonim ani imoloi amar Hashem Tzvakos." So, and then the Navi says that this philosophy, on the contrary, with this philosophy, you're lower than the Odei Vatzar. You think it's an advance because you think that you've risen to an intellectual plane. But on the contrary, that philosophy is really lower than the philosophy of the Odei Vatzar. That's what the Pasuk says. Ki mizrach shemesh v'yad mavo
Godol Shmi Badoyim uvachom makom mukta mugesh l'shmi u'mincha tahora. Ki Godol Shmi Badoyim Amar Hashem Tzvakos. So Rashi says, Amru Rabbo Seinu, the korulei elod elohayo afilu mi shiyesh lo avod azor yodeya shehu al kulam uvachom makom misnazim l'shmi. So the critique of the Navi is that you think that this intellectuality places you on a higher plane, but on the contrary, you're on a lower plane than the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. Why? Because the Ovdei Avodah Zarah are making a mistake in how to serve God, and they're making a mistake in the idea of how God relates to the universe. And this is, of course, a mistake in the idea of God as well, but nevertheless, they do recognize the existence of God over everything. And this idea, whatever is wrong in their service, but still behind everything is the idea that Melech Godol Ani. They still recognize Kvod Shamayim. So these Ovdei Avodah Zarah, with their wrong notions and their wrong ideas, nevertheless, there's one idea over here in which they're superior to you. And that is that they recognize that there is a reality of Kvod Shamayim. In that sense, they are above Klal Yisrael. The Klal Yisrael that he is relating to is the state of Klal Yisrael at the time, which was an intellectual state where the intellectuality led to the conclusion that Kvod Shamayim is simply unnecessary. That, the Navi says, is not only wrong, but the Ovdei Avodah Zarah are closer to the truth than you are, because they do recognize Melech Gadol Ani, and they Gadol Shmi V'Goyim Amar Shem Tzvakos. That idea, they are superior to you, because here they are closer to the truth. Ki Melech Gadol Ani Amar Shem Tzvakos Shmi Lora V'Goyim, because they recognize that the Shem Hashem demands kavod and demands yira. That they are right in that. That's the Navi's rebuke. That's the rebuke of Malachi. So what is this idea? This idea is really mentioned. Interesting. It's mentioned in the Maran of Uchim, and the Ramah begins the Shulchan Aruch with that quote from the Maran of Uchim. In Siman Aleph, Halach Aleph. So the Ramah says, Shivisi Hashem Lemedi Somid, Hukwa Gadol Batara. Ubemailas Hatzadikim Hashaholchim Lefnei Olekim. He quotes the Maran of Uchim. Ki en yeshiva sa'odam utnu osa v'iskav. Because his activities is, as a hula vada b'veso, are not the same when he's alone in his house. Ki yeshivaso utnu osov the iskov vahu lifnei melech gadol. As his activities would be, his movements and his activities would be in front of a great melech. Velo diburo varchovas piv kirtzono vahu manche beso, and the way he speaks at will when he's with his family, krovov, ki diburo b'moshev ha-melech. Kolstein kishiyosim odem alibo shamalach agadla kadosh baruch hu shamalei kol oretz kvodo omed olav rob masov k'mashnema misasif shbemisparim vanila renenim hashem miyad yagia ilav hayira v'achno the sachar hashem is baruch hu boshem meyam marna vuchem chela gimel perek min beis. Yeah, it's he's quoting the Mara says, "Ein yeshiva sa adam usnu osav v'sashmishav kishehu levado b'veso kishivasot neosav v'sashmishav kishehu lefnei melech gadol lo devora v'chafiyuso kishehu bein anshei beso krovav k'dvorav b'moshav melech ulefikach mi shehedif es hashlimos anushis v'sheyia ish holakim be'emes Yisorer v'yeda ki ha-melech ha-godol ha-ofef oso v'nitzmad lo tomid godol mikol echod midnei adam v'afilo ho-yazet dover u'shlomo. Okay, so the Ram continues. I'm not going to go into another parsha with the Ram, with the continuing the Shamayim is a metaphysical reality, which means to say that even though the mistake of the philosophers was that they negated the emotions. So they said that the emotions have no value. So the emotions distort a person's understanding and distort his way of thinking, which is correct. But because of that, they concluded that the emotions play no role in Avodas Hashem. And that is against Yahadus. That's really what Malachi's criticism. Malachi's criticism was that it is true, there are two pitfalls here. Most of the Nevi'ims speak about the first pitfall, the pitfall into the pit of the emotions. But then there is another pitfall, and that is out of the pit of the emotions, where the individual thinks that the emotions play no role. And on the contrary, if the emotions play no role, so then there's no reason for Klal Shamayim. Absolutely no reason for Klal Shamayim. That's the issue that Malachi is addressing. So Kol HaTorah Kula maintains, on the contrary, that an Odom HaSholem has emotions. And the perfection of man is that insofar as he has emotions, these emotions must be directed towards Klal Shamayim. So if the individual does not do so then he is further away from the truth that the Ovdei Avodah Zarah has. So, and that's basically what the Rambam is saying, that in yeshiva for Odom, that is a yesod in Kol HaTorah Kula, that an individual must summon those emotions, and those emotions must fall in line with the true objective of those emotions, which is the Melech Gadol, and if the individual fails to bring those emotions in line, then he is in a state of serious imperfection. Not a state of perfection, which he may think because he's philosophical about it, but that philosophical takes a person, on the contrary, it removes him from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the individual that truly recognizes HaKadosh Baruch Hu means he must do so with all of his emotional makeup. So, you see, when an individual, there's another bit of insight here. When an individual is in front of the Melech, it's true that his aim may be to please the Melech. But in that state, there is a tapping into a certain realm of emotion also. It's not that the individual is calculated in every step that he does before the Melech like a robot, like an automaton. There is something genuine in his emotional makeup that he's making recourse to. And that is a concept of awe and reverence. I mean, I want to do it, but the fact is that he doesn't think logically each step, think it out, how he's going to act in front of the Melech. He dips into a certain vein, so to speak, where he taps a certain vein. And once he does, there is a certain kavod which emerges, and he knows how to act naturally once he's in that mode. That mode, that vein, is the one that must be tapped for Kavod Shamayim. And if it's not, then the person is distorted. Then it means that the individual, as a human being, is not in line with Klal Shamayim, with the reality of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It is not a philosophical height that he has reached, but on the contrary, it is a very low level where he's in a state of denial of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Yadus teaches. Yes.
Can you just explain that last point again?
Okay. Which last one, about the individual son of the Melech?
Yeah, tapping into that.
Okay. In other words, when a person stands in front of a Melech, so it's true, he doesn't want to go see the Melech. But when he goes to the Melech, and it's a burden for him, but when he goes to the Melech, he acts in a certain manner. And
the way he acts towards the Melech is not a step-by-step, logically analyzed, individual activities type of thing. In other words, not that he says, now I'll move my hand this way, now I'll do this, now I'll do that. He simply taps into a reservoir of emotion of kavod, you see, which is a part of his nature. And that's why he knows how to act in front of the Melech. He doesn't have to think every little thing he does, because all he has to do is place himself in a state of awe, and he'll know what to do, what the right things are, which things fall into line with that, and which things don't. You see? So there is in man that element of awe, you see, which is a part of his emotional makeup. So that reservoir, that element must be tapped with regard to man's relationship to God. You see, he must tap into that. If he doesn't, then as a man, as a human being, he has no relationship to God. His relationship to God is flawed. You see, is lacking. That's what the Navi is saying. Kimelach Gadol warning. Shmi Mahul Bagayim. Ayei Kvodi Vayei Moroi. That's what Omar Shem Sokos. That's what Malachi is saying. That you think you're intellectual, but you're not. Because you think you're intellectual because you think God doesn't need it. But the truth of the matter is that man, insofar as he is an Adam, must summon all those elements in his nature and subordinate them to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Mora and the Yira must emerge together with simultaneously. That's it's a metaphysical reaction. The individual, the true metaphysician in Yahadis, it's a lot in line with what we said before, is not a dichotomized intellectual entity. The true perfection in man and his pursuit of knowledge is determined by one thing. It's determined by his perfection, and his perfection involves his human elements, and the human elements must all be in line with the reality of God. So, insofar as he fails to bring this part of his nature in line, so he fails in approaching HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He's distant from God. More distant than the Avdei Avodah Zarah. That's what the Navi said. That's the rebuke of the Navi, you see. It's true, they're wrong. They make mistakes, and they don't know how to serve God. But they recognize, they do recognize Melech Gadol. They do recognize that, and they do recognize that is an awesome, that's awesome, and that demands that the emotions of man come into line with that idea. That they're right, and that you're wrong. That's the rebuke of Malachi. It's a different kind of rebuke than the rebuke of the other Nevi'im. You see, and that's the Yesod in Yahadis, and it fits in, it ties in with the first Yesod, because really everything in Yahadis is pursuit of Chachmah, but pursuit of Chachmah is not in the way an ordinary secular intellectual would conclude. It's a completely counterintuitive system, where the Chachmah emerges because of the individual's closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is dependent upon his essence as a human being, as an Adam, being in line with the reality of the creator of the universe. If it's in line with that reality, so then he's in a state of awe. He's a state of mora. And he's in a state of realization of Klal Shamayim. You see? That's the state of man. And in that state, he attains the greatest knowledge. That is the way that he attains the greatest knowledge. So Moshe Rabbeinu, the Adon HaNeviim, made the most crucial steps and the greatest gains because through mitzvahs, through being close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, through every element in his nature, even those things that were the most difficult things, fell in line with the Kvod Shemayim, with the reality of the existence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And when that took place, the Mayonos HaChachma were opened to him, and he received the highest level attainable of Yedias Hashem, and of course of Nevuah, that Tel Tadal upon him. So the formula over here
is over here in this pasuk is really the formula. So what is the shalom no lecha me'al raglecha is not because the land, the earth has kedusha. That's not true. The earth doesn't have any kedusha. The earth is the creation of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it doesn't make any difference if you're outside Yericho or if you're in the Harrow with him. It makes no difference whatsoever. The idea of Shalom Alecha is simply the idea what the Rambam says. What the Rambam says in the Morning of Ochim. That any yeshiva sa'odam utnu osa v'tashmishov kishehu levado b'veisau, ki yeshiva sa'odam utnu osa v'tashmishov kishehu lefnei melech gadol. It means that over here, you can't walk in the same ordinary manner, in the manner that is practical and ordinary, which is to wear shoes. That's the practical hiluch. But that's very nice kishodim bevesel, or when he's on the street, in his ordinary daily activities, in his ordinary walk. But when he's listening to Melech Gadol, he has to abandon that. It's not over there, it's Shalom Alecha. This is over here, it's different. Kiyad Maskarisho. Because he's before the Shechina. And it's interesting that this halacha of Shalom Alecha was not just a halacha from Moshe Rabbeinu. And this, by the way, is from Moshe Rabbeinu, the Adon HaNeviim. That for him as well. For him as well. He was not exempt. That he had to, in spite of the fact that he was such a great Navi at the time. But nevertheless, he had to bring in line that element of his nature and the realization that this entails a removal from the ordinary. And therefore the hiluch on this spot at the time of the Ashura Shechina cannot be in an ordinary practical manner where one wears shoes. And you see it's a removal of the hiluch of the derech haolam. It's any yeshivaso shel adam beveso kemo tnuosaf kemo shehu lefnei melech gadol. That's the shalom alecha. That's why Yeshua the same thing. Doesn't matter if he's yericho, doesn't matter if he's harolikim. And this halacha of shalom alecha is really a halacha not just from Moshe Rabbeinu. It wasn't just a tzivus Moshe Rabbeinu, but it was really a tzivus l'doros. Or the tzivus just became a tzivus l'doros. Because the Gemara says in Brachos Daf Samach Beis on the Beis, the Gemara says that kol harokeik b'har habayis b'zman hazeh, if a person spits on har habayis b'zman hazeh, kilu rokeik b'baseino, like he spits in the apple of his eye. Shenema v'hoya eini v'libi shom kol hayomim. Okay? So it means it's as if he's spitting in desecration of the crow Shemayim. So he says, So you see, the Gemara has a whole question of whether you're allowed to wear shoes in the Beis HaKnesses. That's the sugya in Brachos. Because you might say that in the Beis HaKnesses you can't wear any shoes. Because Beis HaKnesses is different. That's Hiluch Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Taisus in Sota takes it up. Taisus in Sota and Daf Mem Amar Aleph. He says, Pirushach, Shmamin is Mutal Kunas Beis HaKnesses, the sandal of a minnow. The lo osu ela shelo lalos luduchen the sandal. He says, the Rebbe Hazy Kamokain, the Parashish to Megillah, Alma in Yavalus Nea Teva, the sandal, Af Yoches lo Yava, Alma da Filus Nea Teva, Mutal Lava, the sandal. The Taisus had a doubt whether a Shliach Tzibor is allowed to wear shoes. So you see, the idea of wearing shoes is an idea that was Kavur Ladoros, and Harabayas, you're not allowed to wear shoes. Why? Not because of Harabayas, but because of the Kavod Shemayim, and even Bizman Azer. The Rambam, what is the idea? That is the mark of the Kavod Shemayim. The mark of Kavod Shemayim is that the Hiluch over here is not Kehilucho in early. In the Yara Chazaka. And where he has the halacha of where he formulates the halacha of the iser of wearing shoes in the end of the in the base Hilchas base Abchira, he says like this. He says the Ezui Yirasa Persvi. Lo yikanes odom lahar abayis b'maklo o b'mino sheberaglov o b'afundoso o b'avak shel al raglov o b'mos hatzurim o b'sadino. Okay, main tzorach lomar shasul lorak b'chol har abayis. Okay, and in the beginning, in halacha aleph, the Rambam says mitzvas asay liyira min hamikdash shenemar umikdash haytiro v'lo min hamikdash atayore. So it's Yiras Hashem. There's nothing special about the particular land. It's Yiras Hashem. It's not the Middash. It's not the Mokom that deserves, that warrants any kind of a Yira. It's Mishetziva the Yirasa. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's Kodesh Shemayim. That's the idea of Shalmei Alecha Me'araglecha. Shalmei Alecha Me'araglecha is the principle of Malachi. It's the yesod in Kol HaTorah Kula of Kvod Shemayim and the concept of perfection and the whole concept of Chochmah and pursuit of Chochmah, which is a completely counterintuitive idea to the a completely different thinking, a whole different way of thinking about what intellectuality is. And what Chochmah is, and the derech of the pursuit of Chochmah. And basically, it's all expressed in the pasuk of Al Tikrav Halom, Shal Melech Me'araglecha Ki HaMakom Asher Ata Omer Levad Maskarasha. That's the concept of Shal Melech. The one that there's no difference between, there's nothing special about the Na'alayim. See, it's an interesting thing that the Gemara in Sota says. Question is, why do Kohanim remove their shoes? So the Gemara says two things. The Gemara says like this. The Gemara says that Amar Bishchak, that's Mem Amar Alfin Sota. La'olam tehei emas tzibur alecha. He should always have a fear of the tzibur. Sha'arei Kohanim pineim klapei ha'om, v'achoreim klapei shvina. So you see that the Om is an element, is an entity that deserves kavod, the Am Hashem. So a person should have a certain kavod, a certain awe for the Am Hashem, because they are Am Hashem. So you see, because the Kahan turned their backs to the Shechina, they face the Am. So you see that the Am Hashem reflects Kol Shemayim. That's what the Gemara says. So the Gemara says, well, how do you know this? How do you know this is so? So Nachman Mehacha quotes a pasuk, and then the Gemara says like this: Rabbanan Amri Mehacha, Dein Kohanim Rashoyim Lalos Besandaleim Leduchan, Vizeu Achas Miteisha Takanas Sheiskin Rebechin Menzakai. My timer, Lav Mishum Kvod Sibor. Isn't that the reason? So you see that the Shal No Lecha has nothing to do with the idea of shoes. I mean, there's nothing to do with any kind of the symbolisms of shoes and this and that. It's nonsense. It's simply, even you would do, and then makom, even the kavod tzibur, the Gemara says, would demand that a person should remove his shoes. Lav mishum kavod tzibur, because wherever there's kvod shemayim, there's alocha of shal malecha. It means that the individual must forego his ordinary, normal, practical way of going, of his normal pursuits. That's the Shal Melecha. So even Kavod Tzibur, according to one Mandam of the Gemara, that's the reason why the Kahanim take off their shoes, because of Kavod Tzibur. Not because of the Makom, but because of the Kavod Tzibur. So the Shal Melecha is, what's the principle of Shal Melecha? Is the principle of the Rambam. In Yeshiva Sa'odom, Kishulav Ada Beveso, Kimo Kishulav Nei Melach Gadol. The Ramos quote, in the beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, from the Maran Aruch. Okay, everybody, so I'll stop there. Any questions? Yes.
That's
referring to the technical mastery of the Torah? I can't go into a right now. It's too big an area.
I understand the first part.
Is, but in this respect, you're right. It means that an individual that goes through the painstaking test of bringing all his emotions in line with the Kvod Shamayim, that insofar as he will have, insofar as his difficulties will be, his schar will be. That is correct. That is a direct ratio. That would be true. That would definitely be true. That's correct. Because insofar as his painstaking efforts are concerned, that's exactly according to the pain of his efforts, which he's uprooting his instinctual, and he's bringing it in line with Kvod Shamayim, that's exactly how much schar he will reap. That's correct. That principle would be correct over there, yes. Okay, any other questions? Hello?
Yeah,
it's different. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead. What's the question? I'm sorry, I missed the question. Do it again.
Rather, it would indicate
this
level of perfection.
Rather, it would indicate this level of what? I don't understand the question. I don't mean this level of what. I don't know what you're talking about. I don't grasp it. I know you're trying to.
In other words, you said by Moshe
Yeah, it's a terrible thing to serve God with others. But this is worse, because this is a denial of the Croatian Maya, and that they don't deny.
Really?
Yes.
You wouldn't say that about Christianity.
What's that?
You wouldn't say something of that about Christianity, that is...
No, because they don't believe in one God.
Right.
They don't. No, that is simply a humanization of the deity. That's really destructive. That's completely reducing. That's where the individual just is looking for the comforts of a child, and they're creating a father. They're creating a human father. That is really that's a far gone level. That's not even a level. But the Egyptians are not were on a higher level. The Egyptians are on a higher level. And if you read it, well, it's very interesting. You should read it, really. Wallace Budge on the religion of the Egyptians. And what he says is exactly what the Navi says, exactly what the Rambam says, and that's the Navi in Malachi. It's not that the Navi is serious. He's not just saying things, you know, that sound good. He's serious. He's saying that you are worse than them. And that is true.
It's not just hyperbole.
No, it's not hyperbole. It's not hyperbole. It's real. I mean, I hope maybe I didn't get that across clear enough, but I think you should understand it. It's real. He's saying that in a person who removes his emotions in the service of God is worse than all the others are. That's what he's saying. That's what he's saying, literally. Because at least they recognize, okay, they make a mistake. They think they can't get to God. They think they make mistakes. There's no question about it. And there's no question that it's an abomination. But that doesn't mean that there aren't other abominations that are even worse. That's what the Rambam says. A person that serves God and thinks that God has emotions is worse than the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. It seems he's more sophisticated than they are. No, he is not. He's further removed from the truth. And over here, insofar as serving God, these people are further removed from the truth than the Ovdei Avodah Zarah. In the realm of serving God, these people are further removed. That's what the Navi is saying. That sophisticated intellectual approach is further removed than the most primitive people, the people that you ridicule. They are closer to the truth than you are. That's what the Navi is saying. That's the Musa of the Navi. It's real. It's not a... I mean, it's a, I hope I didn't make this clear. It's a real rebuke. It's not hyperbole. All right, yes. Well, if we didn't have emotions, you couldn't do it. I mean, the emotional quote of mine stems from the fact that we have emotions. And the pursuit of knowledge stems from the fact that it's all more akin. We can't do anything for something we don't have. A high level of what? That you don't use any emotions? For a Malach, maybe, not for us. And I would add one more thing also. That Moshe, that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says, don't think that a mitzvah is a light thing. The Rambam says in the Pirush Mishnayos. He says, because even Moshe Rabbeinu, before he died, he Yavdu Moshe Shalosh Arim, even though he couldn't complete it. Why? Because he knew that a mitzvah is the greatest vehicle of perfection. So even a person who's the Adon HaNaviim, Mentel Pa'a Dabarbo, even for him, he is not wasting his time when he's engaging in a mitzvah, rather than engaging in the highest metaphysical speculation. You see, even Moshe Rabbeinu, that's what the Rambam says. The Rambam says in the Pirush Mishnayos. So, insofar as we are Odom, we have to serve God insofar as we are endowed with the elements of Odom, with every element that we have. And to think that we could be, that we can simply remove ourselves from that is just arrogance. It's just arrogance and non-reality. That's what the Navi is saying. That's really the message of the Navi. It was a different kind of philosophy in the time of Malachi. Different philosophy. It was an intellectual philosophy. But equally harmful. Equally harmful.
Rebbe?
Yes.
What about the fact that someone who's Torah Samanaso is Pater from Tefillah? Is that a separate point?
That's a separate thing. That's a separate thing. And even you see in the Torah Samanaso, Rebbe would spell once a month. And that's different. That's a different kind of a thing.
Separate.
He's not Pater from everything. He's not Pater from Kol Tera Kula, all the mitzvahs there. That's a different thing. That's a different thing. That's a different type of person, different thing. A person, that individual has to know what he, you know, a person on that level is in a different realm. But even that person is not put them in a mitzvah.
Not put them in a mitzvah. He has to sit down in the, what do you call it, in the matzah and the Jewish rulers and not put them in a mitzvah. Certain things, yes. He can adjust certain adjustments. Yeah, he has a right to make certain adjustments. But that's a different thing. But that's a person that knows why and how. It's a different thing, a different realm.
I
don't think we have a right to do something. I don't know. That's only a Kaddish Baruch Hu is your Deo Leiv Bnei Adam and Tzadikim. And we can't, I mean, what can we say? I mean, I don't know. We can't say anything about that. Yeah, because it's very bad because the whole purpose of everything is the Avodas Adam. And so far as Avodas Adam is concerned, he's totally distorted. HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need his recognition.
But that doesn't
take a recognition. No, it doesn't. Because let me explain something to you. You know, everybody always asks the same kind of question, every time and time again. We're not here to measure and to say, this guy's this, a good guy or a bad guy. What the Torah teaches is ideas. And this idea is corrupt. And so far as Avodas Hashem is concerned, this is an essentially corrupt idea. Because it means that the Avodas HaAdam is complete. Once the thing is corrupt, it's corrupt. It's based upon an arrogance. It's based upon a denial of what he is as an Adam. It's based upon a lot of flaws. So, insofar as Avodas Hashem, he is nil. Now, you want to know, does he have anything? What's the purpose of going into that? I mean, I don't know. What kind of a chelik do we have in Olam Haba? That's not my business. That's not anybody's business. Is it a corrupt idea that severely removes him from Avodas Hashem and places him outside the realm of Avodas Hashem? Absolutely. He's outside the realm. He has nothing to do with Avodas Hashem. Does he have any idea that's good? Yeah, Avodas have good ideas too. They don't have it. And every idea is wrong. But insofar as Avodas Hashem is concerned, they are out of the ballpark. That's what the Navi's saying. That over here also, insofar as Avodas Hashem is concerned, you're out of the ballpark. It's not a slight error. It's an essential error which removes the individual from Avodas Hashem, just like Avodah Zarah will remove a person from Avodas Hashem. You want to know which one's worse and who has a little bit more of the truth? It doesn't make any difference. Who cares? It doesn't make any difference. You want to speculate, the person can speculate on anything. But that's not what the Navi is interested in. Navi is interested in teaching the people Derech Hashem and what is an absolute corruption. And the Navi says this is another absolute corruption. It may look better, but it's not. Because better or worse is dependent upon if you're in the realm of Avodas Hashem. And the Navi is saying, you are not. So that's it. Period. So you want to know, does the guy have any idea that's good? Yes, but is he serving God? No. That's the answer. Which way would you rather be if you... these are like idle speculation. I don't see the... I'm not saying that any knowledge is... That any knowledge is worthless. I mean, every piece of knowledge is worthwhile. But that's not the point over here. You know, that's not the point over here. If a person starts asking these types of questions, it means that they're trying to find some kind of a value in that. And there is no value in it, because why should we seek a value in something which is not Avodas Hashem? That corruption will make it ipso facto impossible for the individual to progress in terms of Avodas Hashem. He can't progress. That's it. Just like another Avodas Hashem, he can't progress. There's no... What is the definition of Avodas Hashem? Is that an individual can progress. That's it. Impossible. Yes. No, that's what the easy we see. No, we see there isn't. I mean, we can't determine these things, but the Torah determines how it's expressed. But that's the idea. That's the idea of Nilas Asundel. That's the concept. That's the concept of Shalom Alecha. Okay, Rabosai. By the way, did you take the questions? Good, because I think I clarified a certain point here that I didn't clarify in the shiur when I was giving the shiur. I'm glad that we were able to come back around to it.
Yes.
That last point, yes.
Is the idea you were talking about when you gave the shiur recently,
I don't remember. I don't think that's the same thing. I mean, I don't think it's the same idea. It's a different idea. Yes. Okay, Rabosai. Okay, call it up. So mentioned last time that Shalom Lachem El Agrecho, Ki Amakom Asher Ta'omer Olav Agmas Kodesh, does not mean there's anything special about the place, because you see from Yeshua. What it means is that you're in a place of Kodesh Shemayim now. That's the meaning. Okay. But, so we mentioned that Moshe Rabbeinu went in a few short months, I mean, apparently like less than a year, from the snare to the highest level. And that in spite of the all his great tribulations, nevertheless, he was able to rise to the highest level. And that's why our theory of knowledge is different than the secular theory, which is that it's simply a matter of input and effort, and it has a natural and a natural course. But the course over here is the only thing that we have in common with the secular. I would say there's one thing that we have in common with the secular view of knowledge is only in the negative, that it's not possible for a fool to attain it. In other words, he must go through the rigors of attaining knowledge. Without that, I mean, it's not possible for him to attain it. In the negative, it's true, but not in the positive. In the negative, it's impossible for a person that doesn't have knowledge in the secular sense. In other words, he's not a chacham. He doesn't know the ideas and the concepts and the categories of thought and the ideas of Torah. He doesn't have the background. I mean, then it's simply not possible. But the positive is not true. And he could have all that knowledge, and he could spend his time learning, and still basically not get any higher. I mean, you see, unfortunately, we see it in our door, we have such a phenomenon. I mean, you never had more people sitting and learning than yeshivas. But there were times when there were much fewer yeshivas, even before the yeshivas. But you had tremendous gedolei Yisrael. So you see that today we don't. So you see that the insight and that which leads to real godless in Torah is not simply a matter of a ratio of effort and input and the real chokhmah is something which is attained in a very special way in a way where the soul is turned towards Yedias Hashem, and that's a different kind of a thing. So that's what you really see from Moshe Rabbeinu. But what I wanted to explain was the argument between Moshe Rabbeinu when he was arguing with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Vayomer Moshe l'Hashem, Bi Hashem lo ish dvar manochi gam etmol gam mishulchon gam me'oz v'becho l'avdecho kichvata chod l'ashen anochi. So that was the sign. The sign was that he's a chvata chod l'ashen, and he's simply not fit for the job. But of course you understand that it meant, like I explained before, that to accept the position wasn't simply to enter a world where a miraculous world where things will just unfold and he has nothing to do. If that were the case, of course he would take it. Why not? But he had to accept the responsibility to use all his efforts and all his chachma politically to achieve the result. And you see, at first he failed. At first it was a total failure. And in the end of the Parsha Shmos. And then only later did he begin to succeed. So that's why he didn't want to do it, because he felt that he couldn't do it, because he doesn't have the ability. But then you have a strange answer. Vayomer Hashem Elav, Misom Pelo Adam, O Miyosum Ilaim, O Cheresh, O Pikeach, O Ether Allah, No Cheresh Hashem. So what does that have to do with anything over here? So what does it help Moshe Rabbeinu if somebody else is an Elaim or a Cheresh or Pikeach or either? What does it help? And then he says, V'ato Leich, V'anochi Eyem Picho, V'reisicho Asher Tadaber. Okay, so whatever it was, it sounds like okay, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu will teach him whatever this means.
But then, even after that, I said, okay, so fine. Then he says, Vayomer bi Hashem, shlach me b'yad tishlach. So what kind of a, what was the response over here? Shlach me b'yad tishlach. And then it says, v'yichaf Hashem b'moshe. Vayomer lo aron achicha levi, dati kidavi dabehu, v'nei yinu yetzu k'secho, v'rocha v'sumach b'libo. So why was v'yichaf over here when he said shlach me b'yad tishlach and not before? And also, what do I care? So what does he care if he'll be happy or not happy? Then he says, now it seems to be contradictory. So now it's very strange, because empicho was used before. V'oreisicho asher tadaber. But why, what is, but now you don't need, actually, Empicha. And what is the Empihu? I mean, he doesn't have any problem. So he doesn't need this. So why does he say, Raisi Eschem Esa Shetasa? Okay? Yeah. The whole thing is difficult. But, yeah. Let's take a look at it step by step. You see, the first thing is that if his first taina was kichvat pelchad lashon anochi, that was his first taina, that he's not capable of assuming the responsibility. So then HaKadosh Baruch Hu answered him. He said, "Nisom pelo adam om yosum ilay mocheres shel fikeach uizar alo anochi ad Hashem yatoleich vanochi ayam picho or risicha shet adaber." The answer was interesting. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never said that he'll cure him of his. Of his defect. Didn't say, I'll cure him of his defect. And the contrary, Nisam Tel Adam seems to indicate a remnant, at least, to the fact that that wasn't going to happen. That this is permanent. But in the Nisam Tel Adam, the main idea of Nisam Tel Adam was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him that who is the one that knows communication? Allah Nechir Hashem. Why? Because I'm the one that created the path for communication.